Radio friends, today we consider the biblical truth of total depravity. We do so from our Lord's words found in John 15, verse 5, "For without me ye can do nothing." It would seem from the last verse of John chapter 14 that our Lord Jesus and his disciples have now left the upper room where they had gathered on a Thursday evening to eat the last Passover, and they have begun a midnight walk across the city of Jerusalem up to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will be betrayed over to the Jews. We read in John chapter 14, verse 31, Jesus saying to them, "Arise, let us go hence." That is, Jesus was interrupting the discourse or sermon that he had begun in chapter 13, a sermon spoken to his disciples. He interrupts this sermon and leads them out of the upper room toward Gethsemane. No doubt, as they walked, they passed by many orchards and vineyards along the way. And as was the Lord's custom, he uses what is seen in the creation as an object lesson to teach his disciples and us a vital truth that we must know as he is about to leave the disciples. He says in John 15, "I am the true vine, and my Father the husbandman." He goes on to say, "Ye are the branches. Abide in me, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me." The Lord begins to speak to his disciples of the indispensable and urgent need of true faith, of a living, vital connection to him. He, in the way of the cross, in the way of his resurrection and ascension, is about to return in glory to his heavenly Father. We will be upon the earth, subject to sin, temptation, death, sorrow, woe, grief, and turmoil. The Lord says, "You must abide in me, and I in you, as the branch abides in the vine and draws its sap and life from the vine, and thus is able to bear fruit, so also must ye abide in me." He speaks in this figure of the gift of true and living faith, of a true heavenly wrought spiritual union between you and Christ, the gift of faith, faith which is not a formal, merely intellectual attachment to Jesus Christ. It is not like two boards nailed together, but faith which is a living union to Jesus Christ, worked by God in our hearts, so that we say with the Apostle Paul, Galatians 2, verse 20, "For to me to live is Christ. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." And then the Lord, in the words of our text today, emphasizes the need that we have to abide by faith in him. For he says, "For without me ye can do nothing. As a branch severed from the vine dries and is gathered up to be burned, so we, without Jesus Christ, can do nothing." In words that are clear, simple, and pointed, Jesus teaches us the truth of our total depravity. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. You could not save yourself. You could not will to accept him no sooner than a dead branch could will to pick itself up and insert itself into the vine. You cannot receive me unless I work my grace first in you. You cannot be saved, nor can you persevere, keep yourself within the state of salvation without me. Without me, ye can do nothing. These words, then, underscore the words of the Lord Jesus: abide in me, stay close to me, seek all of your strength in me. As a sinner, know that you are a depraved sinner and saved by grace. And as a child of God, in the midst of this world of temptation and woe, we have one great desperate need every day: abide in Christ, a living, true faith in Jesus Christ, for without Jesus, we can do nothing. These words, first of all, then, are very humbling. Without me, ye can do nothing. They are words that point first to our total depravity as a sinner and our need of a completely gracious salvation. Jesus here speaks of every man as they are without him, every woman, every child, as they are without him. Without me, you can do nothing. He's not talking just about drug addicts or those who are on death row. He is not talking about predators or simply abusers of mankind, but he's talking of all mankind, of professors, scientists, teachers, men as they stand apart from Christ. You, considered of yourself, you, apart from Jesus, can do nothing. He means nothing good. That's his point. Nothing pleasing to God, nothing good in the sight of God. You can do many things, but you cannot do anything pleasing to God. Note that Jesus has been talking about, in the first four verses of John 15, bringing forth much fruit to God. He has been talking about a life of good works pleasing to God. He's been talking about love for God, sorrow for sin, humility, meekness, those things that please God. He has been talking about the fact that the failure to bring forth such fruit means that a branch is dead, withered up, and is to be gathered up to be burned in the lake of fire. Jesus therefore teaches that no man, no woman, no child, whether they are in poverty or whether they are in wealth, whether they live in a third world country or in a country of great prosperity, it makes no difference. They cannot do any good in the sight of God. Apart from Jesus Christ, we are dead in sin, fallen in Adam, incapable of any saving good. Depraved not simply in the totality of our makeup, so that there's spots of sin in every part of our makeup, in our will, words, and emotions, but totally depraved, shot through completely with sin, sold in sin, leprous in sin. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, "And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Romans 3, verse 12, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Romans 8, verse 7, "The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." You can do nothing apart from me. The Lord is speaking there of ability. Apart from Jesus Christ, no one has the ability to do good in the sight of God. We cannot of ourselves will to accept Jesus Christ. It is not we that can do a little. That is, it's up to us to decide for Christ, and then, depending upon our decision, Christ will respond and come into us. No, ye can do nothing. As a branch severed from the vine, withered, we are dead in our sins. Salvation is not the acceptance by the human will of Jesus. Salvation is the resurrection of a dead sinner. When we have the testimony within us of the burden of sin, when we feel sorrow for sin, when we covet God's grace to lead a new Christian life, all of this is his work in us. It did not proceed from us. It was not me, O Savior true, but it was thou who didst love me and raise me from the dead. But Jesus' words are humbling also in this sense, that as a renewed, saved by grace child of God, without him we can do nothing. As renewed by the Holy Spirit, by grace, we are called to live a life of sanctification, that is, a delight in holiness and serving God. We are called to live to the service of God in everything we do. Cross, we are to bear our cross, fight a good fight of faith. But we can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ. He must daily infuse, by grace, his strength into us. In your strength, says Jesus, as my child, looking only to yourself, your fortitude, your personal determination, your guts, your stubbornness, your stick-to-itiveness, all of this is nothing. Ye can do nothing in the Christian life without me, without Jesus. That is, apart from a conscious, heartfelt faith dependence upon Christ, we can do nothing. You cannot white-knuckle and overcome that addiction which has cast you down time after time, and of which you have said, I'll beat it, I can stop, I'm man enough, I'll preserve my reputation. It's not going to go any further. Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. You cannot escape that temptation, the net and the pit laid for you by Satan, the lust, the desire to live for the approval of friends, the eating disorder. Without me, says Jesus, you can do nothing. You cannot endure that trial, that loneliness, that sorrow which is swallowing you up, pushing you down of yourself, getting away, a change of scenery. It's not going to do it. Without me, ye can do nothing. A great evil was performed against you, an abuse, a horrible abuse, which haunts you and pursues you and fills you with fear. Without me, ye can do nothing, says Jesus. A great sin is in your past. You've confessed this sin, but yet its memory gives you no rest. You try to keep yourself busy. You try to keep in front of it. Without me, says Jesus, you can do nothing. Always our sinful nature, that is our pride, looks to ourselves. We try to build our own citadel. We try to use our treasured resources and strength, and God in His wisdom and justice so often says, go ahead, exhaust your treasured strength, until grace brings us to know, I can't. It is by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. The way of God's grace leads us to this point, that we give up on our own strength, our own way, our own will, and we cry, foul I to the fountain fly, cleanse me, Jesus, or I die, for without Jesus, I can do nothing. But as humbling as that is, it is also exalting. It is exalting to Jesus Christ. Jesus is making the most amazing and astounding claim. Think about it. Without me, ye can do nothing. That means that Jesus is saying, I am the source of all good, all spiritual strength. I am the source of good and spiritual strength. As you have none, and as you have no good and no strength, no merit, I and I alone am the source of all good and strength. As you are devoid, utterly devoid in yourself, and cannot find any strength of yourself, you will have all strength and all merit in me. So it always is. If you lift up man in your faith or religion, you debase Jesus Christ. If you give credit to yourself or to man, you discredit Jesus Christ. If you walk in pride, any pride, you will think little of Jesus Christ. But when our emptiness is shown, when our weakness is made plain, when our depravity is exposed to us, it is then that Christ is exalted for all who He is. Christ is the source, the only source of good in all the world. Christ is the source, the only source of strength in all the world. Christ, therefore, is exalted in salvation. Total depravity is the gate or the door to the gospel. You must go in through that door. The teaching of free will, that salvation is owed to a decision of the dead sinner, his will first to accept Christ before Christ can save him, this heresy of free will debases Jesus Christ. Free will glories in itself. I accepted Christ. He could not enter in unless I allowed him into my heart, unless I first invited him. He stood there knocking, unable to do anything until I gave him the permission. The glory is free will. In the name of Jesus Christ, away with that false doctrine. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For of God are ye in Christ Jesus, says the Scripture. Of God, not of free will, of God, God's work, are you. Of that work of God are you in Christ Jesus. We cry out with the hymn, "Nothing in my hands I bring." It is Jesus Christ by his Spirit who opens our heart, which is closed shut and sealed as in a coffin of sin. We read in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, of Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened. It is Jesus Christ who regenerates, that is, by him we are born again. He implants his life into us. If ye then be risen with Christ, says the Apostle, Colossians 3, verse 1, it is Christ who converts. It is Christ who regenerates. It is Christ who saves. It is Christ who illumines our minds. It is Christ who softens our will and enters into the inmost recesses of our soul. It is thy grace, O Lord, that saved me, not myself. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Not free will, not your name, not man's name, not this man saved me, or this person, but Jesus Christ saved me. So also it is that Jesus Christ is exalted in our life of sanctification, that is, in our Christian living. It is Christ who infuses his strength into us through faith. It is Christ in me. It is Christ in me in every trial, in every way of darkness, and in every burden, and in every temptation. Christ Jesus is our strength. But you might say, I know that, and I believe that. I believe that without Christ I can do nothing. But why are there yet times in my life when it seems I cannot find him, or when he is absent from me, when the peace of his grace eludes me? The disciples of Jesus Christ at this point were about to go through that in the very night. At the moment of trial, they will all run away from Jesus. Apparently the strength of Jesus Christ was gone and their hearts were filled only with fear. Why then are we led down ways of darkness? Lord, we say, I believe this. Why must I be led in such dark and difficult ways? And the answer is, because our need of Jesus Christ must be burned, must be branded into our hearts, because his grace and his strength are not cheap. Because it pleases the Father to work this truth into our deepest hearts, through every way of trial and through every way of woe, Jesus Christ wills that we confess, without Jesus, I can do nothing. But you see, this is assuring. It is humbling, it is exalting of Christ, and it is assuring to us. This is not a false assurance. This is not a sales pitch. This is not a soap bubble to pop on the first sharp point of life. Jesus Christ is our good and our strength. His perfect work on the cross is our righteousness. His grace is our strength. He is the solid rock. Everything else is sinking sand. Believe in him. Rely solely upon him. The assurance is, first of all, that when we feel the burden of sin, when we feel within us the desire to obey and serve him, then this is due to his work in me. It did not arise out of me. I did not create that, but it came from him. It came from somewhere. It came from him. Do you know yourself as the sinner in God's sight? Do you know your sorrow and the depth of your sin? All of this is worked in your heart by Jesus Christ and by His wonderful grace. And still more, there is the assurance that Jesus Christ will also strengthen us unto every good work. He will give us His grace. He will dwell within us. It is Christ who will strengthen us. So hear the call of the gospel. He speaks. He calls in the gospel, "Abide in me." That is your need. Always closer. Always stay closer to Jesus Christ. That's your one and your great and your desperate need. Stay close to Him in the Word. Stay close to Him in the church. Stay close to Him in prayer. Stay close to Him in your daily walk of life. Abide in Jesus, for without Jesus you can do nothing. But in Jesus Christ, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the Word of God, and we pray that it may be written upon our hearts. May all glory be to Thee and to Thy Son. In Jesus' name, Amen.